Hi, this is your friend, Emmanuel Gagger, and you're listening to The Miracle Cafe, the home of transformational conversations that serve to attract even more miracles in your life. The Miracle Cafe is excited to connect you with visionary guests, concepts, and modalities here to assist you in manifesting a miraculous life. It's my deepest honor to welcome you to The Miracle Cafe. Hey, my amazing friend, and welcome to the Miracle Cafe. We have such a knock your socks off kind of show filled with so many goodies today that we're actually going straight to our special guest right this minute. And now I'm so excited to introduce our special guest today. Moira Shepherd is the author of the forthcoming book, Romance, Finance, and Mom, 7 Keys to Healing Your Relationship with Your Mother so you can create richly fulfilling relationships. As a healer, life coach, and radio show host, Moira has joyfully served thousands of people worldwide in refining and defining themselves as the sacred children of light she knows them to be. Moira began as a freelance mystic while still a child and has spent all her years connecting with higher intelligence and infinite love. She holds master certifications in nearly a dozen healing modalities, including NLP, Theta Healing, and reading the Akashic Records. She is thrilled to support you today in healing your relationship with your mother, for when you heal your relationship with your mother, you heal your relationship with yourself, with others, with all of life itself. Moira, a heartfelt welcome to the Miracle Cafe.
Oh, Emmanuel, I am so grateful and thankful to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me to come and share with your people.
Oh, I love it, and I love you, and I know that I've benefited from your works for years now, and I just wanted to share that with all of our listeners. So the theme for today is romance, finance, and mom. And when you shared this theme, I was so excited because I personally don't know what the correlation is, but I'm really excited to hear about it. So, Moira, tell us a little bit about romance, finance, and mom, and how does a person's relationship with their mother affect their experience with romance and their finances?
The basic thing, Emmanuel, is that when you're an infant with a developing brain, your mother is the ruler of your world. She is God. She is the big person who is a safe harbor for you. She protects you, she feeds you, she holds you, she looks after you, she loves you the best she can. And since you have a brain that is developing without any critical faculty that says, well, I think that's true, and maybe that not so much, you just uncritically accept everything that your mother says and does as being the way life is, the way the world is, the way life works, the nature of love. And whatever way she sees love is the way you tend to see love. The way she tends to see you is the way you tend to see yourself. The way she treats you is the way you tend to expect other people to treat you. So a child with an innocent egotism, imagining that it is the cause of all things. If the mother treats you in an abusive way, you think, oh, there must be something wrong with me. Otherwise, God, my mother, would never abuse me, so there must be something terribly wrong with me. Or if a mother abandons a child emotionally or physically, the child thinks, there must be something terribly wrong with me. Otherwise, God, my mother, would never have abandoned me. If the mother behaves in a controlling way, withholding affection or approval or love or just plain old, you know, hug or hand-holding or something like that, the child thinks, oh, my mother doesn't love me. There must be something terribly wrong with me, or I'm not good enough for my mother. There must be something terribly wrong with me. But because the mother generally has no idea that she's doing this. She's just doing the best she can, generally raising the child the way she was raised because that's all she knows, so that's all she can do. That's all she can model. That's all she can teach and project in being a parent to this child. So the child's being with a mother who is unconscious that when she withholds love, the child's soul starts to shrink and shrivel, and the heart starts to think, oh, there must be something awfully wrong with me. Especially if the mother continuously holds up examples of, this is how you should be, and then I will love you. If you do this to measure up, then I will love you. Generally, the child can't measure up because the yardstick is always moving forward. It cannot be satisfied because this is a mother more interested in control than she is in love.
Wow.
People who need to be in control are fearful.
Wow. I mean, I'm telling you, that is such a aha moment for me because, you know, even taking it to the womb, you know, that's just so powerful in itself that, yes, the mother is God in that moment for you. And even when we are born and we see the mother as a specific authority and everything that she says for a long time up to a certain age, we feel is right. It has to be right. And if we don't feel the same way or resonate at even at that young age, I remember being a child and really feeling this doesn't feel right. but of course, because the mom says it, then it has to be right. So what's wrong with me? So would you share a little bit about that?
Yes, absolutely. I grew up with a mother who was just filled with rage all the time. So nothing I did was right. Nothing really anybody in the house did was right. So in the innocent egotism of childhood, I thought there was something terribly wrong with me. And like you, I kept thinking, that can't be right. That can't be right. This is not how love looks. This is not the way a mother should be treating her children. Even just my little friends and neighbors. I could see that their moms seemed to actually, you know, like them. Seemed to actually want to be with them. Which was not something that I experienced. So I thought it was all my fault in my innocent egotism, just thinking, you know, I'm the center of the universe. It must be because of me. It's all about me. But you don't know how to make yourself right. Mm. And you don't know how to reconcile the way you are inside with what your mother says is so. So when there's that disconnect between mother and child, you almost start to feel like a motherless child. I remember when I was very young, I just became convinced that my real mother was somewhere out there, and she had dropped me off with this woman and to take care of me while she went off and did something that was much more important than taking care of me, and that she had been terribly misinformed about what a good mother this woman was, and that she needed to come back and take me away.
Aww.
And I really bought into that fantasy for quite a while, and I plunged into fairy tales about foundlings and orphaned girls and Cinderella and all those stories, and just thinking, if I can just be good enough. And that seemed to placate my mother more than anything. If I could just be good enough, which by her standards meant if I was invisible enough, if I was quiet enough, if I was out of sight enough, that whole kind of underlying sense of, it would be so much nicer if you weren't here. Mm. So like I am, and so many women who I've worked with have kind of shrunk ourselves down, almost like, you know, an excuse me for living kind of energy. If I'm just small enough, maybe I won't get hurt, maybe I won't get in trouble, maybe I won't be abused, maybe I won't be abandoned, maybe I won't be controlled. And we take that way of being in the presence of what we are told is love, and that's the kind of love we seek out. If we feel like we have to be invisible, we find people to love us who diminish us and make us feel less than. Because it doesn't feel good, but it feels familiar. It feels like home.
Wow.
And it can be so difficult to get out of that mentality through conventional talk therapy or something like that, because this is stuff that actually affects your brain functioning, the way your brain processes information. I don't know if you're familiar with the work of Dr. Masaru Emoto, Messages in Water. He did experiments where he had a glass of water and he taped a message to one saying, "You're beautiful and I love you." And he froze the water and the molecules under super-powered microscope with a message of love on them had this beautiful, crystalline, symmetrical, gorgeous, graceful, infinitely lovely shapes. And in another one, on another glass of water, he taped the message, "You make me sick. I want to kill you." And that water was frozen too, and the molecules were shown under as ice crystals that were terribly distorted and misshapen, and there was no harmony or beauty in them of any kind. They were just curling ugliness under the microscope. Well, that's what happens just with water molecules. Our bodies are 70% water. Water, liquid, brain chemicals run through our body all the time. How can messages of "you're not enough," "I don't love you," "go away," "you make me sick," "it would be so much better if you weren't here," "abuse is all you deserve," "I don't have time for you," all those messages like that, how can they fail to be imprinted on the brain itself?
Wow.
Repeated over and over again. It also becomes very difficult for a child to grow up with a feeling of self-esteem or self-worth because, geez, if their mother doesn't love them, who could possibly love them?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because even though the mom says, "I do this because I love you," we know that's not love.
Of course, of course. And just think about those children where some of them get preferential treatment and the other ones don't seem to get that same treatment. Imagine how that child feels. So all of these layers that you're sharing are just so, so powerful. So let me ask you, how or when, I should ask, did you actually have that epiphany of realizing that, oh, wait, my financial situation, my love relationships, maybe they have something to do with how I experienced my relationship with my mom. When did you sort of have that aha moment?
Well, I've been doing healing work, energy healing, counseling, coaching, guidance for about 10 years now. So when I started dating a new man earlier this year, and we had a really good connection right away, and he paid a lot of attention to me, called a bit, we got together quite a bit. And even with all that attention and approval and you know, green lights that he was giving me, that, you know, this is good, all systems are go, when a day would pass, or God forbid 2 days should pass, without him calling me or texting me or emailing me or something, I felt so abandoned, like this Grand Canyon size abyss of, oh my God, I'm left alone again. Ah,
I think some of our listeners can definitely relate to that.
Absolutely. And since I've been doing this work for so long, I was able to realize, even in the midst of all that emotion and fear and shakiness and terror, even in the middle of all of that, I was, because of the work that I've done, I was able to realize this reaction is way out of proportion to the cause. There is something more going on here. So I asked myself, when is the first time I felt this abandoned? Because this obviously was not my first experience of feeling abandoned by somebody. And I went into meditation and traced it back to my mother and her physical and emotional abandonment of me. And that feeling of fear that, you know, she's gone and she's never going to come back. Now, with the first 2 or 3 years of life, developmentally, every time mom leaves the room, very often the child will feel abandoned till after 2 or 3 years, the child finally realizes, oh, she goes in, out of the room and she comes back. She goes out of the room and she comes back. But that's still 2 or 3 years of traumatic, she's left and she's never coming back, energy coursing through our little veins, grooving itself on our brains. So when we find when we have an experience that reminds us of those feelings of abandonment, the feelings can be absolutely devastating because they've been grooved so deeply into our brain, into our hearts, into our emotional makeup, that when somebody does, you know, just some little thing like not calling for a day or two, and even that is a judgment around it. Did he decide not to call for 2 days? Maybe he just had other stuff to do. It seems very unlikely. He said, let's torment Moira by not calling her for 2 days and just see what happens. You know, chances are that was not, you know, anything close to his mental process. But
right.
I couldn't not take it personally. I thought, wow, what else is going on here? So I looked at the abandonment, because that's something common to me and many of the people who I've worked with, and realized that I tended to abandon myself in relationships. I would just put aside all of my desires, all of my preferences in favor of what the other person wanted to do, believing that if I erased myself enough, then they would love me. Like I was shown how love works with my mom. If I just erased myself, if I went as invisible and silent as I could, then maybe she would love me. And that's a tendency that's going to create its own kind of dynamic in any kind of relationship where that that is a factor where that abandonment thing happens, where that feeling of I have to be less than, I have to shrink myself down in order for this person to love me. Now, some people are going to love it when you shrink yourself down. They're going to love having you at their beck and call. That can feel like a really compelling relationship to be in, even though it hurts, especially if their demands are painful, especially if they ask you to do something you'd find disgusting or dangerous or just plain dumb. Mm-hmm. But you feel like, I can't say no, because if I say no, I'll lose love. And in fact, is that really love that you're losing to someone who loves you, wants you and encourage you and pressure you into doing something you find dangerous or disgusting or just plain dumb? No. So if you lose them, are you really losing love? Are you really losing somebody who doesn't wish you well, who's more interested in fear and control than they are in love? Sometimes we stay in those relationships because it's a way on some level of trying to repair the relationship with our mother.
Yes.
If we're invisible enough, if we're good enough, if we're quiet enough, they'll love me, and then finally I'll get this relationship thing right and everything will be okay. Mm-hmm. And that was something that I found myself doing in the first few weeks of my experience with this man, just, you know, going along with whatever he said, you know, by habit, losing myself in the relationship, and then suddenly pulling back and just realizing, this is turning into a relationship that doesn't look like anything like what I want.
Mm-hmm.
This is not who I want to be in a relationship. This is not how I want to live. I came to realize that in abandoning myself in the relationship, I was creating that same kind of dynamic, trying to repair the relationship with what you might call the bad parent. Sometimes it's mom, sometimes it's dad. But many of us get involved in intimate relationships that echo our relationship with a quote-unquote bad parent in the hope that maybe it'll go right this time. Maybe I can do all my little strategies, it'll work, then they'll love me, it'll be fabulous.
And would you say that because, you know, we get into that space of almost enabling them to continue their cycle by us playing that role of trying to fix it the way that we think, maybe this time it will change. Would you say that by actually choosing not to allow yourself to be in that relationship, you're actually able to help them and support them and empower them to move out of their cycle, of course yourself as well, but which is the number one priority. But would you say that it actually affects them as well, so that maybe, who knows, they'll go find someone else who is also in that same space of not being empowered, sort of feeling like a wounded bird? But would you say that it would, on your part, on some level, empower them or enable them to move out of that cycle and hopefully have some kind of epiphany that will allow them to be in a more balanced relationship? Do you think that may occur?
It may occur. It depends on how you do it, how you bring the relationship to an end. There needs to be some kind and compassionate truth-telling there in which you take responsibility for your feelings. It needs to be brought forward. It needs to be talked about in a way where you acknowledge your part in it. You do nothing to attack, condemn, or judge them, because that's only going to make them feel defensive and the conversation will go south and nobody's going to walk away happy. Just breaking off with somebody without any kind of explanation, you know, just not returning their calls or emails or texts, is a very passive-aggressive way of registering your displeasure. That is unlikely to bring about a change for you and for them, because it's like you trying to do an invisible breakup. There you go, trying to be invisible and erase yourself again. Just, I'm going to vanish from your life now. So that is not really going to generate a shift. It can be empowering. It can definitely be empowering for you, and may be empowering for the other person, if you can have a conversation with them where you say, This is what's been going on. I've noticed that I keep giving in to you. I keep on keeping quiet about what I would prefer to do, and I keep on feeling quiet. I keep on being quiet and going along with things that I don't feel really comfortable doing. The reason I do that is because I've got this nutty idea that if I don't go along with what you say and do, that you won't care for me anymore, that you won't want to see me, that you won't want to date me. What do you think about that? Does that seem true to you? And that can open up a real conversation. They may even say, I had no idea you were doing that. I want to know what you prefer. I want to help you to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
So that can be the beginning of a conversation that can actually shift the direction of the relationship away from abuse and toward love and fulfillment for both people. It can take mm-hmm. courage to have that conversation, no doubt about it. But when you come from love and just realize I'm loving myself by having this conversation, I'm expressing love for myself by speaking my truth in a kind and compassionate way. And that really needs to be the underlying intention in a conversation like that. I am doing this so that I can reclaim the power that I handed over to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do with it what you will. So part of the conversation also involves completely letting go of the outcome, letting go of your attachment to the idea that if I say this, then everything will change and they'll love me forever. If I say this, they'll never speak to me again. Or if I say this, you know, they're going to think I'm an idiot. You got to let go of all of that. You have no control over how they respond to what you say. So that all you can do is keep the conversation around, this is how I feel when this happens. This is what my experience has been like. What do you think?
So let me ask you, if someone really is saying, yes, Moira, I hear you, this is so, you know, someone who may have been experiencing something similar, I really want to be able to do this and release control of this situation in this way, how or what advice could you give them to help them move out of that control and more into being able to stand up for themselves and not needing to hold on to dear life for that relationship and being able to actually let it go? Do you have any advice to those people?
Absolutely. I would suggest beginning with getting a very clear idea of what it feels like to love yourself, of what it feels like to feel worthy of love. Because it's so true that you can never receive more love from anyone than you can give to yourself. I've noticed in myself and others that if people give me more love or offer me more love than I feel entitled to or worthy of or deserving of, that I kind of eye them askance. I look at them and say, what's your game? You're being a little too loving and affectionate. What do you want from me? What is this love going to cost me? That comes from innate feelings of unworthiness inside of you. True love, genuine love, has no price tag. It never costs you anything because true love never demands anything of you. It is given as a free and open-hearted expression of the love in your own heart. So the more that you can open to love yourself, open to being loved, to receiving love. A lot of people I've talked with who have little or no love in their lives, they have a really hard time with receiving. They'll pour out love, they'll pour out their energy, they'll pour out healings and gifts and, oh, let me buy you plane tickets to that. Oh, I'll pick up those concert tickets. Let me pick up that dinner tab. And it's all, very often people are kind of put off by that because they feel like you're trying to buy their love, which is absolutely true, which is why they feel that way. There's an agenda here. I don't know if I want any part of that. We can say from a place of genuine love and abundance, I want to give this to you because out of the overflow of a love that is flowing in me, through me, as me. And you can and you can do with it what you will. But I'm just so full of love. Here's some extra. Let me just share this with you. If you're willing.
And that's such a foundation, you know. And those are such inspiring words to hear. And even for those of us who have heard them before, it's always good to remember and hear them again because they really are the foundation to that life of your greatest vision. So I know that you have, you know, amazing healing processes and tools that of transformation that you work with. If it's okay with you, I would love if you could give us maybe like a 5-10 minute miraculous session, just open us up to even more romance and abundance and do some healing with our mothers.
I'd love to. Thank you. That sounds wonderful.
Thank you so much.
I know some of the healing has already begun because of the frequency of the voices, yours and mine, and the energy that's coming through our united minds, united between you and me, Emmanuel, and united with the listener. And between us, these mighty minds are already creating a connection that's begun to expand and illuminate our understanding of ourselves, of love, of our mothers. So let's just continue to radiate that out even further. So may I have the conscious permission of you, Emmanuel, and the listener. Do I have permission to connect with your individual consciousness now? If that's okay, please say yes out loud now.
Yes.
And Emmanuel, I'll take your yeses as the yes on behalf of the listener as well. So is it all right, first of all, and this is so key, this is so critical, can we show you, by we, I mean your higher self and your higher power, whoever that is to you, however that is to you, would it be all right if we show you what it feels like to feel safe?
Yes.
To fill you with the energy of safety, the emotion of safety. And I'm already feeling some of the listeners kind of shrinking away like, oh, I don't know what that is, because you have no idea how to feel safe, my dear. So even safety itself appears threatening. So any one of you who has never felt safe, who has always felt like you walk in chaos, and there's no stability or serenity or security anywhere around you, is it all right to show you what it feels like to recognize safety, security, and stability when you see it? Just
yes.
Know it, what it is. We're not going to make you feel it yet, because that's too scary. That's okay. We're just going to gently work our way into this one. So just showing you what it feels like to recognize safety, stability, and security for what they are.
Yes.
Very good. Thank you. And I'm feeling some lessons coming up, some beliefs that people are holding that sounds something like, there is no safety, there is no security, there is no stability. And that may have been true in your experience, yet is that the highest truth? Is there safety, security, and stability somewhere? Is that possible? And if it is, would you be willing to connect with the true source of safety, security, and stability now?
Yes.
Very good. Thank you. It's important to recognize on the conscious level that there's nothing safe, secure, or stable in the material world, the 3D world, where there are trees and cell phones and wars, because those are all fleeting. They are all constantly changing. So nothing in the material world is safe, secure, or stable, because it's in a constant state of change. But there is that within you, and there is that at the core of the universe, which is changeless, which is always and only stable, secure, safe. Would you like to connect in your awareness with that changeless place of eternal safety, security, and stability now?
Yes.
Very good. Thank you. And we'll just bring these feelings in as softly and as comfortably as is necessary for you to just kind of relax and soften into the sensation of safety and security and stability, almost as if you were cradled in the arms of a loving mother. And this might have been the mother you were born with. This might have been the mother that you longed for. This might have been a mother who's only existed in your imagination. And yet now, in your imagination, you can picture yourself cradled in the strength, stability, in the safety of these loving arms of the Divine Mother, of the eternal feminine essence that is at the very heart of creation. So would you like to see everything you need to see to feel safe? And why to feel safe? Nestling into the safety, security, and stability now.
Yes.
And what will happen if you do? What will really happen,
yes,
if you soften into that?
Yes.
Very good. Thank you. This is the firm foundation from which love can begin. Because love is not just an emotion. Love is a decision. We choose to love. And it is impossible to choose to love someone or something unless we feel safe with them, unless we feel secure with them. Because otherwise you're always feeling like you're walking, you know, on eggshells. You know, what's going to happen to make the love stop? So you really need to feel safe, even in the moments where you fall in love with somebody, you see them and, it's love. There's always that moment where you decide, I'm going to surrender to these feelings and allow that love to flow through me. And we do that best and most beneficially with someone with whom we feel safe. Now, this can run counter to the whole bad boy mystique that a lot of girls and women have been attracted to. Oh, the bad boy, he's exciting. I don't feel safe, but I feel alive and exhilarated. and that can be very enticing. And if he is insecure, if he is unstable, if he is abusive, that kind of leads the way to connecting with the kind of love, a kind of imitation love that hurts. Mm-hmm. A lot of us have an underlying program. Love hurts. A lot of us resist love because we believe if we have love, there will be pain. This is why a lot of people are afraid of love. This is why a lot of people choose control over love. I'm going to make you dance to my tune. And I'm never going to allow myself to be pleased with you. I am always going to withhold love and approval from you. Because if I don't, if I start truly opening my heart to you and caring for you and loving you and approving of you, there is that risk of loss. I may lose you. That would be terrible. I'll be hurt. And so I'm going to stop that right in its tracks by never going there. I'm just going to keep myself safe in fear. I'm going to keep myself safe in control. And as we're seeing, as we find ourselves cradled in the arms of a loving divine mother, that there's nothing safe about fear. There's nothing loving about fear. There's nothing loving about control. That's not real love. That's an incredible simulation. And so many of us fall into that, or settle for it because we think it's the only game in town, because that's what we had with mom. So we think that's all there was. So can we show you from the highest perspective, understanding, truth, knowing, and right perception what love really is, while correcting any beliefs you may have about love that are inaccurate? They're based on assumptions or judgments or experiences that you've had that were actually not of love at all, but were of some expression of fear, betrayal, neglect, abandonment. Not love at all, but masquerading as love.
Yes.
So can we show you what real love versus false love is?
Yes.
What it feels like to recognize real love, true love, genuine love.
Yes.
Now, to show you what it feels like to recognize it, we don't want to scare you by feeling it right away, because that must mean too much, because the other piece that we really want to bring in here is for you to understand how worthy you really are of love. Right now, exactly how you are and who you are in this moment. There's nothing more, nothing more, nothing more that you need to do to be completely lovable, utterly acceptable, and adored and cherished by a romantic partner. There's nothing you need to change about yourself. You're fantastic just as you are. I'm feeling so many people just kind of backing off. No, she must be talking to somebody else. That couldn't be me. And that's okay. Because this is kind of what's been imprinted on your brain, and it can be very hard to change unless you're working with me right now. And you say yes. And we can.
Yes.
So can we adjust your brain to show you what it feels like to recognize real love versus false love?
Yeah.
And also, can we show you very gently and softly now what it feels like to recognize the difference between your mother and God in a way that is very respectful and loving to your mother?
Yes.
Thank you. Very good. Just showing you and all the younger yous from this moment all the way back in time, from the moment you first were, what it feels like to recognize the difference between mother and God.
Yes.
In the deepest way, on the deepest level, the ancestors and the DNA, and this is absolutely in the most loving and respectful way, because treating somebody as the God, regarding them as the God, really puts a lot of pressure on that person. Mom might be feeling kind of pressured by the idea that you look to her for all knowledge and good. It's kind of a tall order for anybody to fill. And even she, even God itself, cannot make you feel good about yourself. That, too, is a decision.
Mm-hmm.
Deciding to think well of yourself. So, for the moment, let's just start by showing you what it feels like to recognize the difference between your mother and God, with
yes.
all respect and reverence and love toward your mother and toward God.
Yes.
And who she really is, and in relation to who you imagined her to be, and giving you right perception of that now. Is that okay?
Yes.
Excellent. You thought she was X, but she's actually this. And this kind of can bring in a level of forgiveness when you recognize that she may have done things because she was this kind of person rather than who you thought she was or who you thought she ought to be. Mm. We so often, I'm definitely speaking of myself, hold a mother to a higher standard than we hold any other human being.
Mm-hmm.
She has to be better than anybody because she's mom, she's God, she's got to be perfect or else, oh, what does it all mean? So, an understandable concern. Well, what it all means is that you are here to learn how to love yourself and express that love to others. And love, can we also? I'm also seeing a lot of objections around this. So can we show you what it feels like to recognize the difference between loving yourself and egotism, arrogance, conceit, self-absorption, ego gone wild, that kind of thing?
Yes. So
let's show you what it feels like to recognize the difference between those things, between real love and loving yourself. And egotism, arrogance, conceit, getting too big for your britches, stuff like that.
Mm.
Giving you a right perception of that now.
Yes.
So often a client will say to me something like, oh, but if I start thinking well of myself and putting myself on the to-do list and making myself and what I want a priority, people are going to call me selfish, self-centered. Well, those are people who think you're selfish if you think about anybody besides them.
Yep.
You're selfish if you're not thinking about me. What is that really telling you? It is telling you that they have a right to be selfish. They have a right to be concerned with their comfort. They have a right to have their desires and preferences considered. And you do not. So can we show you what it feels like to recognize that you and your desires, your preferences, your values, your talents, or gifts are just as valuable and important as anyone else's and everyone else's? You are neither more nor less than anyone else. Is that okay?
Yes. Yes.
Excellent. You are just as worthy, just as deserving. You deserve just as much love, consideration, attention, approval as anybody else. And we'll show you why that is in a way that makes sense to every part of you. Is that all right?
Yes.
And I'm hearing somebody asking very loudly, but how can I love myself? I don't know. Luckily, that's not my job. Let's check with your higher power.
Yes.
Ask your higher power, your higher self, to show you how you can love yourself in the highest, best, most beneficial, loving, tender, compassionate, kind, and merciful way.
Yes.
Very good. Thank you, Emmanuel. That was a good, strong yes. And can we also show you what it feels like to feel safe and normal loving yourself now?
Yes.
Very good. And worthy and deserving of loving yourself now. And why? In a way that makes sense to every part of you, very much including your ancestors and your past life selves.
Yes.
And I'm also hearing that it would be good to show you, if we may, how much love there really is for you in the world in relation to how much or how little you imagine there to be for you, how much love there is available in the world for you.
Yes.
Very good. I'm also being asked to show you what it feels like to have right perception of yourself, to clearly see yourself as your higher power sees you.
Yes.
Well, that really enhances the realization of, gosh, I really am lovable. Yes, and this is why. Lovable. It's important to recognize that the whole idea of worthiness and deservingness is entirely a man-made construct. In spirit, worthiness is a non-issue. It's just so automatic. Your worthiness is part of your standard equipment, like your eyelashes and your toenails. Your worth just is. It never even arises as a question. So it's human self. It's the human ego. It's you know, power-mad people who want to keep you down by saying, you know, I'm more important than you, or you beast of burden, you peasant. What importance do you have in relation to me? So can we show you?
Yes.
What importance you have in relation to those power-mad, tyrannical, despotic, bossy people in your life?
Yes.
Excellent. And can we also show you how you can love them?
Yes.
Bossy, tyrannical people are incapable of loving themselves. Otherwise, they would not have any need to boss or tyrannize anybody else. It'd be fine to just live and let live. So it's a desire for control that's rooted in fear that creates tyrants and bossy people and folks that go, it's my way or the highway. Yeah, it's fear is at the root of all of that. So it's just, they just need more love. It's said in A Course in Miracles that anything which is not love is a call for love. So somebody who's mean, that's a call. Someone who's frightened, that's a call for love. Someone who's abusive, that's a call for love. Someone who betrays you, that's a call for love. So in relation to that, would it be all right to fill you with all the love you've ever wanted and more?
Yes.
All the love you've ever wanted from your mother or any other human being, all the love you've ever wanted from God or whatever you call your higher power. Can we just make it that you have that love and more?
Yes.
And that you're worthy of it, you're deserving of it, and what it feels safe and normal to receive. Oh my God, you've got these little tiny pinpoints. You can only receive just this itsy-bitsy tiny dot of all that love. So expand your capacity.
Yes.
I don't mean you, Emmanuel. That's generic, you in the audience. There's somebody in there who is like, I'm a tidal wave. I've only got this. Let's give you plenty of room for that tidal wave.
Yes.
And fill you and drench you and just be soaked and immersed in this flood of love that's been wanting to come to you all your life.
Yes.
And here it is. And here you are, opening to receive it now. And this is where receiving is so important for both love and money. We never allow ourselves to have more money than we feel comfortable having or worthy of having. We never allow ourselves to have more love than we feel comfortable with having or worthy of having. And how much and how little love or money we had when we were younger pretty much sets that comfort level for us. The amount of money we had as a child is the size of our comfort zone around money. However big or however little that is, the amount of love that we had in our lives, that's about the size of our comfort zone. So can we expand your comfort zone to allow and receive ever-increasing amounts of love and money?
Yes.
Feel really good about it.
Yes.
Showing you why you're safe, why you're worthy, why you're deserving, what it feels like to feel safe, worthy, and deserving, to simply surrender to all the love and money that's been wanting to come to you. And to see,
yes.
Sam, come on in.
Come on in.
The door is open. Let the floodgates be thrown open.
Yes.
Very good. And can we show you who you are and how to live your life from the highest perspective and perception? Feeling infinitely worthy of love.
Yes.
Infinitely worthy of abundance.
Yes.
Worthy of prosperity. Showing you how it's still you. Your identity is still intact, even though you are available to and allowing and receiving infinite love, infinite prosperity, infinite abundance of all kinds. This includes abundant health, abundant happiness, abundant options, because so many of us feel boxed in by our little lives, thinking we've only got you know, door number one or door number two, and that's it. When they're in a universal infinite possibilities, that's impossible. There's never just two options. That's stingy. Nothing stingy about your higher power. Nothing stingy about the universe. But can we show you who you are and how to live your life without being stingy with yourself?
Yes.
Instead, what it feels like to feel safe, comfortable, worthy, and deserving of being wildly, lavishly generous to yourself.
Yes.
It's so important to realize whatever you have, it's yours, is rightfully yours. Whatever you have yourself is rightfully yours. It's impossible for you to have anybody else's love, it's rightfully theirs. It can't go there. It's really like trying to fit the square peg in the round hole. Their love is their love, and your love is your love. Your abundance is your abundance, their abundance is theirs. It's impossible for them to overlap. Everybody has an infinite share in the infinite blessings.
Yes.
Life. So can we show you what it feels like to feel safe, normal, worthy, and deserving of all that abundance now?
Yes.
And let's also show your body what it feels like to feel safe and normal, comfortable and pleasurable, processing all of this information, all this data, all of this light in a way really comfortable, soft, and easy for the body.
Yes.
Integrating all of this instantly.
Mm.
And can we show you what to do with all the data, all the light, all the information that's come in?
Yes.
And how to apply it in your day-to-day life with ease, grace, joy, and confidence, automatically, without even having to think about it, in a way that's always and only for the highest, best, and most beneficial, joyful, loving good. Of all.
Yes.
Excellent. We really want to specify that highest and best good is the kind of highest and best good that feels really good, that feels delightful, that gives us joy. It's just this kind of nutty idea that we've held for a while that, you know, difficulty gives us character, hardships bring out our best. And, you know, you can learn, you know, the hard way, the painful way. Goodness knows that's the way I chose most of my life. I don't know about you. So what I've come to see is that when you really get mashed down, and to the point where you're just in survival mode, like just scraping by each day with your fingernails, like, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. It's very hard to have a rising consciousness. It's very hard to be enlightened. It's very hard to do anything from love because you're using all your juice, all your life force, just trying to get through the day. You don't really necessarily advance very far, maybe an inch or two, by learning from hardship and difficulty that mashes you to a pulp. But when you learn something, as we're doing here, with ease and grace and joy, and simply by saying yes and agreeing to allow love and loving intentions to flow in us, through us, in us, as us, it asks nothing of us. There's nothing here to exhaust us or wear us out. It is simply, I'm at this high frequency, let's raise the frequency even more. I'm at this high level of vibration, let's bring it up a notch. And another notch.
Yes.
And you can have quantum leaps in advancement in very short periods of time, like we've just had in the last 10 or 15 minutes, simply by saying yes and allowing.
Wow. Moira, you are off the charts.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. I'm just buzzing. My hands, my face. I'm just my heart feels so expanded. I know something has shifted for myself, and I'm sure it's lifted for our listeners. And I want to ask you where we can find out more about you. And a little bird told me that you have a special offer for our listeners. So please share that with us.
Thank you. Yes, I do. My website is www.guidetoabundance.com, and there's a special offer available to people who'd like to check it out at www.guidetoabundance.com/Emmanuel with a small and what you will see is I've created a teleclass, a home study based on a home study course based on a teleclass I taught earlier this year called Romance, Finance, and Mom, How Your Feelings About Your Mother Can Block Money and Love, and 5 Ways to Start Changing That Right Now. So the study course includes 5-hour-long audios and 5 transcripts of the audios. I mean, they're very detailed and a lot of this came through divine inspiration, and the words themselves are infused with the frequency of highest light and clarity. So just reading the words in the transcripts and hearing the words spoken can create enormous shifts and changes. And in each of these sessions, audio sessions, I do work very similar to we've been doing in this past 10 or 15 minutes. So in the first session of the five, we have an introduction to just a little more detail about how the way your mother treats you affects you in every area of your life. This is true whether you were raised by your birth mother, by an adoptive mother, by a step-parent, by a man who served as your father. This is the person who was your primary caretaker. Your relationship with them inevitably colors every relationship in your life until you get conscious about how that influence is still playing out at the unconscious level, creating choices that you make automatically without thought because it's how you've always done it. And this really lights up your awareness of how that works and starts undoing those unconscious patterns. In the second session, we clean up your relationship with mom specifically, the mom you had in this lifetime. And it includes work on the mom who raised you. If that was your birth mom, that includes her. And if it was the foster, adoptive, step-parent or anything like that, plus your birth mom, because you're going to have influences from both. How abandoned are you going to feel if you never set eyes on the woman who gave birth to you? So that's some very deep work that we do there. In the third session, clean up your relationship with yourself and others, because the way your mother treated you is the way you tend to treat yourself. You have a harsh, critical voice inside your head. Chances are it sounds a lot like mom. And that is how you come to treat yourself. That's why people are their own harshest critics. And it's time to get over that, because you deserve so much more. In session number four, we clean up your DNA and your past lives, because the tendencies and habits that you have around love, choosing people who abandon you, who betray you, who abuse you, who neglect you, who control you, whatever, chances are you've come by that really honestly because it's your ancestors have done it. You know, your grandparents, great-grandparents on back probably had a similar pattern. So you've got it genetically as well as in your environment, and your own past lives, if you believe in such things, are also going to be played out in the choices you make around love and money in this lifetime as well. That can be very hard to access, and that is what we access and clean up in session number four of this. In session number five, we just clean up your act in general. We do a little review of all that's gone before and say, this is how you make a new life. It's one choice at a time. This is how to make choices based in love for yourself. This is how to make choices based in love for yourself and others. And I've seen so much change in my own relationship with my mother. Just a few weeks ago, I had the first loving, warm, affectionate conversation with her that we ever had.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a first. And I know it's because of this work that I've been doing, focusing on this, and other people who I worked with in the course of a teleclass on which this is based, have also said, I can't believe how differently I treat myself, how much kinder I am to my kids, to my pets, to my man. I'm even starting to think about, maybe I'll call mom again one day.
Moira, and to our listeners, first of all, thank you so much. And if you really are feeling the energies that Moira co-created with you today, just please check her information out, her offer out. She is fabulous. She's one of my healers, and I'm very, very specific on who I work with. So thank you so much, Moira. And they can go to, just tell them again, the link where they can go to that offer.
GuideToAbundance.com/Emmanuel, EMMANUEL.
Yay. Oh, it's been such, I'm literally, you know, we went over time, but I'm so grateful. You are just amazing. And I like to close with a fun little game, really fun, uplifting energy. So I'm going to share with you one word, and you're going to tell me the word that comes to your mind. And there's three words, but we're going to go through them. So let's start with the first one. The first word is mother. What's the first thing you think of?
Purity.
Chocolate.
Joy.
Freedom.
open skies.
Yay! All right. And so it is. Moira, so thank you so much for being here today. And to our listeners, thank you for collaborating with us. And stay tuned for the next 2 weeks. We have an amazing guest coming on. I send you lots of love right now, and I will talk to you in 2 weeks.
Thank you for tuning in to the Miracle Cafe. Sign up for our mailing list at miraclecaferadio.com to find out more about upcoming shows and special events. Also, by signing up, you will receive a free powerful energy recording titled Living Your Highest Vision. Sign up today at miraclecaferadio.com, and I look forward to co-creating a miraculous journey with you.